hour two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got the C-Note coming up in 20 minutes. Cowboys news of the evening. David Hellman's coming up at 3:40. A lot going on here, but before we do any of that, it's time for a News Back Nation with your chief.
Yes, sir. We got a lot here at the news desk. An opportunity for sports fans here locally for a little staycation. Are you interested?
Yes.
Right after this.
You're rolling with the News Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
The Omni PGA Frisco is offering a very Frisco sweet package themed around Dude Perfect.
Nice. Shout out to Sparky.
They're Frisco legends, yes. Shout out to Kevin Sparkman.
We need to get Sparky on the show.
He is my personal favorite of the dudes that are perfect.
Mm-hmm. Did you see him out there playing with the Savannah Bananas or whatever
yes.
it was?
Yes. Yep. Dude, his athleticism, I mean, he was the ringer.
He was the dinger.
He was the ringer dinger in the fan wiffle ball event from, gosh, what?
10 years ago,
maybe? 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And he really is a legit athlete. You know, if the size wasn't working against him, he probably could have done something. You know, and now he's doing something huge with Dude Perfect.
He was doing basketball at UNT.
How am I just now hearing about this? So Kevin Sparkman is in Dude Perfect now?
Yeah, so he started off when he left us, because he's been buddies with all those guys, you know, since high school. And so when he left us, he went over and he started their gaming department, and now he's basically become like the fifth dude. Of Dude Perfect.
Yeah, he's such he's an amazing personality, like one of the sweetest dudes ever, just a cool guy, loves sports, and he is super athletic. So he gets involved in a ton of their bits. When they go on tour, he's on stage doing stuff. Like, Dude Perfect lovers know who Sparky is. Okay, so he's the man, and now it looks like the Omni PGA Frisco Resort and Spa is offering families a unique way to vacation this summer. Now, of course, it would be a staycation for most of the Tolos here listening locally, but all around the country, you could fly into DFW and enjoy a little Dude Perfect, little themed suite. Now, it's going to cost about $1,100 per night, okay? Mm. Now, that's obviously, it's a little bit up there. But it fits like 8 people, so you got a king size bed in there. You got a bunch of twin size beds and things like that. So you could maybe double family this thing, and you know, bring it strong, have a good time with the kiddos. And so it's on the 10th floor of the resort, overlooking the 10th hole at Field Ranch East. Sleeps 8 guests.
Beautiful.
And you have a dedicated kid zone, is what they're calling it. So the room is filled with Dude Perfect adjacent features like AstroTurf in the living room. All right. Player safety be damned. We're just going with the turf. All right. You have the bunk bedroom, PlayStation gaming system, leather gaming chairs, a mini basketball hoop, a game table. I'm not sure. Is it like a billiards? Is it ping pong? I don't know. Some level of a gaming table, maybe air hockey. I don't know. What would you prefer? If I told you could have a gaming table in
any
your suite of any kind, maybe you're a foosball guy.
I don't know.
I think air hockey.
Yeah.
Billiards is legit if you got the space for it. You know, sometimes you get to a billiards table and all of a sudden your sticks running into
the
wall.
Man, it's crazy how pool you can sit there for 8 years and never be played, but once the spark hits, you could end up playing pool for hours.
Yeah.
For like 2 straight months.
Mini basketball hoop, game table, and then dedicated gear up stations inspired by fan favorite stunts. So it's just going to be like a bunch of, it'd be like a kid extravaganza. If you're like a 12-year-old kid and dad's like, hey, got a little surprise for you.
You know what I need instead of the foosball? Golf simulator. They're at the golf spot. Okay. It's 9:30 at night. We're cracking coldies with the dads. Let's go play 18 at Pebble.
I like that.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, kids be damned. Dads are getting on the sticks tonight. We're gonna have ourselves a dang good time. So that seems like a fun little staycation opportunity for some folks here.
Yeah,
locally.
That sounds great. How many square feet? That sounded spacious.
Yeah, I mean,
1100. At first, I was like 1100 for a hotel room. No, this is
like a
hotel floor. Sounded like.
Yeah, it doesn't specify here exactly how big the room is, but I would imagine it would be quite large to be able to do all the fun activities that you have there. So that is going to be at the Omni PGA Frisco if you want the Dude Perfect staycation opportunity here locally. Now,
not far from the new house.
Not far. Oh, for you?
We're moving. Yeah, probably about 10-15 minutes away.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going on a cruise ship, Mm-hmm. Be careful.
Haven't got any planned as of now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but
we don't need any more baby Woolchucks running around.
Still trying to get that boy.
Well, how about this for a headline? Cruise ship passenger dies after driving mobility scooter off pier in the Bahamas.
Oh, so this wasn't even on the boat.
What
do they call that? A port of call?
Yeah, it's their port.
This is an 88-year-old lady who just rode her remote wheelchair off of the pier, presumably accidentally.
Couldn't swim?
But, like, these are the types of things. Well, the police believe the woman struck her head against the hull of the ship before entering the water. So,
that's user error.
I mean, there is some user error here.
Some?
Yeah. I don't know what type of liability, but you've seen, like, how about the lady that got super hammered on one of these carnival ships recently?
Yeah.
And then acted a fool, and then it's the cruise ship that has to come correct.
Overserved her.
Yeah, overserved her.
Yeah, which is wild.
I know.
You can't get me drunk.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here tipping you $10 a beverage.
Get the drink package, man.
Yeah, we need to do away with that. I'm surprised.
With the package?
Yeah. With those kind of lawsuits.
Oh, with the lawsuits. Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, where is the family member that let 88-year-old Thelma go on this and be unattended as she's trying to get back to the boat? She's not going to make it.
Yeah, right? That's ridiculous. There's some sort of, okay, you should know what you're doing here, that you're not going to drive this thing off the damn port.
Brian's taking a week off. His dad's younger than that.
Yeah,
he's taking a week off to hang out with his dad.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
he's being a good family member, helping out.
Goodness, that's terrible.
And if he didn't, you know, who knows, right? Who knows what could happen, but it wouldn't be anybody else's fault.
Right.
You're ancient and cruising through the world.
Yeah, so I don't know if the Carnival Cruise Line is going to be held accountable for this, but these are just it's another installment of why somebody like me who's never been on a cruise is scared of going.
You shouldn't be.
There's all sorts of ridiculous things. It's like at least once a week there's a new cruise fiasco.
Man, don't drive your car.
Hantavirus.
Don't fly in a plane. You know, we can if we want to go.
Yeah,
down,
but those are things I like have to do.
Well, you know, you don't have to go on a cruise.
Exactly.
But gosh, you're missing out on a hell of a time. I can only speak from my personal experience. I've loved every second of it. But yes, there is a risk that you'll end up on a poop cruise, which would absolutely be catastrophic.
Can you imagine you're sitting there soaking in the sun, having a good time on vacation? All of a sudden, here goes grandma. She goes flying off the deck.
No, that's bang. A scarring
like,
situation.
Like, how am I supposed to have a good vacation, relaxing vacation after that?
I think there's a norovirus cruise, too.
Oh, is there really?
There's a hantavirus. There's a norovirus. Norovirus is like the worst kind of flu.
Oh, God.
You know, it can kill with dehydration becoming a factor after 72 hours or so. But I don't go on cruises either, Chief, because it just sounds miserable to me. Like, it's like a hotel, but you can't leave. You know, it's like, hey, you can come down to the lobby. We got a pool.
Oh, there's so many things to do.
Yeah, I know. Maybe
it's the biggest hotel you've ever been in.
It's a floating. What it is a floating city. It's not even a hotel. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of places you could find by yourself, just a little Gavin Dawson area. You can make it for yourself.
And I feel like the rooms are tiny.
He would do that
tiny.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
the Diet Coke.
The halls are tiny. I'm claustrophobic already. You know?
That would probably be a reason I would say don't do it.
Sounds like a good bet payoff for Dawson.
Yeah.
Dude.
Seems like
the rooms are small.
And
it can get crowded.
You got lines.
Probably depends on the time of year you're going. But yes, it can get crowded in certain areas.
My theory is the people that enjoy themselves either don't want to move because they're old, big, or they're hammered.
Yeah.
Or they just love gambling. Sometimes all three.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you hit the trifecta.
The hammered part is definitely accurate.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hammered, a lot of stuff can be fun.
Lucius, what is your cruise experience? Have you tested these waters?
I've been on a few cruises, yes. I like the cruise. One I probably can't name here on the microphone.
Oh, was that for that? You were looking for that little
brand.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, some good stuff, man. I don't see why you wouldn't want to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Even after that.
Just don't go to the ones where there's like a lot of families. You got to go to like the adult vibey ones.
Okay.
Yeah, then it's a little bit more safer. Might cost you a lot if you got kids.
Yeah, it'll run you a little
bit. A lot cleaner. You don't have to worry about a norovirus taking over your life.
the kids will spread the germs.
Yeah, the families.
100%,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, they're dirty.
Yeah, they are.
Super spreader events.
Yeah.
We are adding new lighting into the studio right now, and now we have a wonderful... Actually, okay, it's starting to move. I had a nice glare on Lucius's face there where I couldn't actually see him speaking. I could only hear him. And I'm going to have to bring back... The sunglasses are back now, okay, with the new lighting that we have. It's a bit stark right there in the eyeballs. But, yeah, I'm not seeing Lucius's face. I'm just seeing a floating Atlanta Braves hat.
You got the gym. Then after the gym, you get to drinking on the cruise, bro.
Yeah.
There's always food being served.
Always. And the food's good. Yeah. They got restaurants. I mean, as soon as you get on the cruise, you just don't have to worry about anything.
The pool all day?
Yeah, everything's done for you.
And if you're on a Bliss cruise, you can people watch.
Oh, there you go.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
I got ballsy and said it.
a little
Bliss cruise.
Yeah.
Scenic,
that's my guy.
Yeah, shout out there. Might be my last day, you know. Go for it.
Well, we have the did you guys see the San Francisco Giants? Wolchuk, was this a bases talking point about the San Francisco Giants and their outfielders and the way they were celebrating?
No, but I did see the video.
You saw did you see the video?
The manager was getting in on it.
Well, the manager was getting in on it?
Yeah.
I only saw the outfielders.
The manager was doing some gyrating too.
The San Francisco Giants, their little victory dance celebration at the end of the game the other night after beating the Dodgers, you have the outfielders huddling together for a little post-game celebration. It was one of the more bizarre displays of victory excitements you'll ever see. You're seeing it now.
Yeah.
Where they group together crotch first and they start gyrating together. And
that's definitely humping. That's not gyrating.
Okay, thank you.
Gyrating would be like shimmying.
Yeah, you're right.
Like Antoine Walker.
I didn't know if we could go full on.
Yeah.
Hump.
No, that's
this is a very thrusty victory dance. Okay. This is a very close knit group
and
there in
Gilbert
the outfield.
Is really into it. Like this this poor Japanese gentleman, J.H. Lee, he wants no part of this.
He got
Gilbert's like,
in.
Get in here. And the other dude's like, okay, I guess I'll go along with this. But
no, I don't want some of this.
Gilbert's the orchestrator.
all in
Nimmo's
San Francisco.
In the lineup.
Nimmo's in the lineup?
Lineup just dropped, and it's
no
the same.
Way.
Yeah, Nimmo's in. He's batting second, playing right field. So that ankle can't be too bad.
That's pretty good.
And Evo was apparently doing some long toss, so hopefully that's a sign of things to be positive about with the side. So just wanted to sprinkle dinkle that positive
that's
information.
That's huge,
in.
Man. Thank you, Wolchuk.
Absolutely.
This is good news, Bag Nation, is what this is.
Hell yeah,
it is. You know, we got away from the lady running off the cruise ship at 88 years old.
Well, she drove off.
And so now we get to the good news. That's fantastic about Nimmo because that thing turned inward. You know, like usually you roll your ankle and it goes out, but this was the internal roll. Which felt like, oh, that could get nasty, but I guess his ankles are built different. So that's fantastic, dude. Ultimately, the San Francisco Giants outfielders they pivoted. Okay, I think somebody with authority came to them and said, hey, we're not doing the thrust celebration together anymore.
No.
And so they just did, like after their latest win, they just did like a take their hat off and take a bow together.
Okay.
So they've pivoted from the Village People.
Okay.
Celebration.
I mean, it was offensive, I think. And if the NFL set the precedent of two pump max, you know,
they crossed that line.
That's at least 15 yards and maybe $100,000 fine, if you ask me, Chiafalo.
Yeah, this is like. This is five or six with contact.
Wow.
Five or six pumps with contact.
That's unfortunate. We got David Hellman coming up in Krusty's Corner at 3:40. Cowboys news of the evening coming up next here. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. David Hellman's coming up in 15 minutes. He's going to join us for Krusty's Corner. Because Brian is out today, and he will be out for the next five shows. Send that man some love on social at Crown Global Media. Let him know that he is missed. Segment here brought to you by the Frankels. It's time for the C-Note. If you have been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online, frankelfirm.com. They only get paid when you win. There's no out-of-pocket costs. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, that is the Frankels. Okay, let's go to Nick Harris. For those keeping track, he wrote, today was the first team workout for the Cowboys since George Pickens signed his franchise tag, but he was not present, even though the workouts do have high team attendance. It's all voluntary at this point. Nothing is mandatory until June 16th. So he posted that last night. I think there's a couple of significant takeaways here. To me, I think it kind of eats away at the theory that he's going to try to do everything to convince people that they should pay him like the top six or seven wide receiver that he is. If that was going to be his goal, like hold my beer and watch this, I'm going to be at everything, I think he would have been there. It also makes me wonder, has their cap situation gotten so bad with Dak's contract and pushing it forward that they're going to have to eat a nine-figure cap hit with all the money they've pushed into the future with him? Is it starting to look like maybe they just want players on short-term deals?
You know, that's interesting, because I do think that we were kind of looking through, like, okay, CeeDee Lamb's contract and the whole thing about paying two receivers. Next year, his cap hit, I believe, starts to go between $25 to $30 million. So, yeah, I mean, like, the first 3 years of that deal, they were able to keep it relatively low, and then they are going to be in a situation where Dak, CD, all of those, now they're starting to be big-time pays each year.
Yeah, because when Dak does step away, there's going to be, like, a nine-figure hit.
Right, and it's similar to what they dealt with Romo. Like, they were never really able to truly maximize that rookie contract for Dak, because they were still on the hook for paying Romo, even after he had retired. So I do think there is something to that, and that's why, I mean, they know. And one thing I have learned is, I know we can try and educate ourselves as much as possible with over the cap and Spotrac. Yeah. Not all of these numbers are accurate. So that's why, you know, when, like, Adam Pacifica, and he's probably sitting back and is, like, rolling his eyes at some of the stuff we're saying, and he's probably right, because it's like we're not privy to that information. We're doing the best that we can to try and, like, put these numbers together. But, yes, I think that that's something that the Eagles are going to have to deal with as well. But I do think there is something to that. They have seemed to be, like, look at the free agents. Outside of Jalen Thompson, it's all one-year deals.
Yeah.
It's not like they're really expensive contracts, but, yes, I think there is something to that.
I mean, it could be a situation where they're looking at, well, when Dak's contract ends going into 2029, or maybe a year before that, you know, maybe after 2027, you're like, there's 1 year left on this deal. We could post June 1, it break it up into 2 years, but we're not going to have somewhere between $50 and $100 million in cap space that we otherwise would. So we need to have flexibility every year. And of course, there is going to be you know, a group of players that will continue beyond that. But maybe you're in a situation right now that you can't add to it. So therefore, going year to year with George Pickens actually is the only option for them. Mm-hmm. And that's why Stephen Jones was so certain, we're not going to do any more long-term deals, because if we do, it's going to mean when Dak is done playing football, we would have to cut other contracts earlier. Sure. than we would want to, and after giving them all the guaranteed money, I think there's definitely some massaging of it. And if that is the case, if they're already having to be conservative because of how they have delayed the cap hits on Dak's contract for, what, 6-7 years now, it will be unfortunate that they never really went for it. And that's why you got to, you know, when you're close, push all your chips in and truly go all in. Not just we're in win now mode. There's a difference between being in win now mode and truly being all in. And, you know, I'm hoping the Cowboys are saying, hey, 28, 29, somewhere in there, the salary cap reaper is coming for us, and we are going to pick one of these years. One of these years, damn it, you know, 2026, 2027, we're going to say, let's really go for it, because we don't know when we're going to have a franchise quarterback again. And maybe that's consistent with how Jerry Jones is looking at the world ever since last summer there on the red carpet of the Netflix event.
Are you more with what they did? And I get it. They kind of had the draft capital to do so with the Micah trade, but then being aggressive at the deadline and going after a Quinnen Williams. And we've seen them kind of make some, like, the NFL trade deadline used to be nothing. There's no activity. Now it's starting to heat up, and you're seeing more and more big names getting made. But are you more optimistic now that if this year the defense actually, you know, they hit on this, you see the improvement, the offense carries over, and they look like they can compete and contend, that they might actually go for a big swing if there's something to be made in a trade at the deadline?
I think so. I'm more optimistic than I've been. Yeah, You know, and maybe by a significant amount.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping right now what they're doing is saying, let's see how this team looks as we get through OTAs. There's not an opportunity out there right now to improve the team that's not also going to be out there as we get after the OTAs.
Right.
And then maybe in the build-up to training camp, if some of these veterans are saying, I need a deal now, we'll consider it then. But usually guys in their 30s, they want to wait till about 2 weeks into training camp. Let's get through preseason game one and see if Overshown, Barron, Stewart, and D. Winters can actually handle this thing that Christian Parker is trying to install. But, you know, and then so much of it is relying on the quality of Donovan Ezeraku and Malachi Lawrence off the edge.
Mm-hmm.
That might be such a big problem that if those guys don't perform, I don't know if they have the resources to fix it.
Well, that's where you're like, and I don't know how much this would actually go about fixing it, but that's why I think adding a guy like Von Miller is not a bad idea. You know, bring Von home. And not only for what he can do just as a situational pass rusher for you, but I also think there's some level of what he can provide in terms of mentorship for Ezeraku and for Malachi Lawrence. Like, hey, you get to learn from one of this generation's goats on how to attack offensive tackles.
Yeah.
I think DeMarcus Ware provided a little bit of that for Von Miller back in the day with Denver. So why not have that with Von Miller? I wonder if that's a guy that they're kind of earmarking for, okay, maybe when we get to training camp, that would be a veteran guy that we would bring in if he's not picked up at that point.
That would be killer. And I would think everybody agrees you need at least one training camp with Von Miller and a Cowboys hat, don't you?
Yeah, dude, I want to see that. What
are we doing? I love it, yeah.
Okay, Nick also writing a story in the Telegram about the Cowboys' day three pick, the Devin Moore out of Florida pick, 114, and how he could challenge Revel and Durant for a starting spot if he stays healthy. The injuries are significant. Freshman missed 8 games, shoulder. Sophomore, 5 games with a back and a concussion. 5 games in 24 with the other shoulder. He played his final 2 seasons with a groin injury that was so bad it required surgery. So he's trying to power through it. Like, groin's not right, but damn it, I got to play eventually, so I'm playing now. I'll get surgery on it after the season. But yeah, if you missed the audio on draft night, he told Jerry, you guys are getting the best corner in the draft. Is his tape that good? I actually didn't watch his tape because he was so hurt. Good.
Yeah, his tape is solid. Now, I mean, it is an issue, the soft tissue stuff, 100%, but for his size, he is very, very rare at his ability to move. You see a lot of, there's a little hitch in the giddy up there. Not many players that are like 6'1 and taller can flip their hips and run as well as he can. And he does have the ability, you see it, man coverage, which you predominantly will see a guy that size do. But I thought he actually excelled in zone. I thought he was a better zone player than a man player. And I think you're going to see them play a lot of zone.
Right on. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. That would be a hell of a surprise if he's that good. But even if he's that good, I think you'll be holding your breath.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually injured guys continue to get hurt. Okay, I know we got Krusty's Corner coming up here in just a few minutes, but I look up at the clock. The World Cup is a month away, and I think we have time for 60 seconds on soccer.
Soccer!
That is right. I got some international power rankings with 29 days to go until the World Cup. Number one is Spain, as Lamine Yamal, the teenage sensation, nursing a strained hammy, should be good to go, but any complication could slow him down. Kylian Mbappe in France, number two. The defending champs, Argentina, at three. Is Messi still powerful enough to be a driving force for them after spending 3 seasons in MLS? I don't know, but he is projected to start. How about that? 38-year-old Messi still starting for Argentina. I love it. You know, 4 years ago when they won it, it looked like he was going to call it a career. Just kind of wrap this thing up. Probably my last World Cup, but still getting it done at a very high level. England's coming in at number 4, actually. Star-studded England team with Kane and Bellingham and Alexander and Foden. Feels like they could do it, but it's been 60 years since England hoisted a major trophy. Brazil at 5, haven't won it since 2002. Vinny Jr., Rafinha, Casemiro, just not the same impact of the names of years past when you scan their starting lineup. Portugal at number 6, Ronaldo now 41, just never got the supporting cast that he needed to make a great run. Still looking for his big run, but probably not on the cards there for Portugal. And how about Germany falling even beyond that? kind of a lost generation for Germany.
Really?
Coming in at number 7 in ESPN's international soccer rankings here ahead of the World Cup. You want your USA projected starting 11?
Please.
At striker, Balogun, Fullerin Balogun. At left wing, Christian Pulisic. In the middle, Weston McKennie. And on the right, Timothy Weah. Your sixes, Tyler Adams and Tanner Tessman. That is your defensive center mids. Then along the back line, Anthony Robinson, Tim Ream, Chris Richards, and Serginho Dest with Matt Fries in goal as the World Cup sitting under a month away. Now it's time for Krusty's Corner. And David Hellman set to join you and break down Cowboys questions here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. Broadus is out. Send that man some love on social. Let him know he's missed. We have a special guest for Krusty's Corner. It's brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broaddus.
Yeah, buddy, joining us now for Krusty's Corner, longtime former co-worker of Broaddus, curator of Brian's written football analysis at DallasCowboys.com for a long time, then went big time, moved to L.A., now the co-host of the Athletic Football Show. It's Dave Hellman here with you on The Fan, and a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm wonderful, guys. Good to be on. What's up?
Well, you know, I think the question here going into the rest of this summer is how much better have the Cowboys made themselves? Some of your peers, in the national football scene are going kind of all in and saying they could see the Cowboys playing on conference championship Sunday. Could you go that far right now?
I don't think I could go that far. It's funny timing. We just had a conversation about this on our podcast, which will be out tomorrow, where we were just assessing each team's offseason. And look, there's no denying that the Cowboys have made themselves a hell of a lot better. Like, in totality, understanding that they traded away one of the best players in the NFL, you got to be happy with where they are coming out of the draft, having completely overhauled their defense, completely overhauled their secondary. You feel good about the picks they made. You feel really good about Caleb Downs. The free agency additions maybe aren't game-changing players, but guys that should give you a much higher floor on defense. And obviously, Dallas doesn't need a great defense for that offense to take it in some really fun directions. I just said this on our pod, though. I think upon closer examination, there are still some things that give you pause, like the linebacker room, the edge situation. How good is the pass rush going to be coming off the edge? The depth at cornerback probably isn't as great as you want it to be. So I still think this is a fairly flawed team, but absolutely a team that should have playoff aspirations, which, you know, for where this team has been the last year or so, I think that's fine. I don't know if I could get all the way to conference championship weekend, though. That feels like a hell of a dramatic jump for one year.
The very measured Dave Hellman with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You mentioned the edge rushing group. You mentioned the linebackers. If I told you you could have Bobby Wagner today or Von Miller today to soup up the Cowboys defense a little bit, who are you going with?
I mean, if those are my options, I think I would take Von Miller. To be honest, I'd have to go back and watch what Von did for Washington. I'm not intimately familiar right now, but I just think of it in terms of like, see ball, get ball. And like, if you're signing Von Miller in 2026, you're probably doing it to play situational, like obvious passing down, go get the quarterback type of stuff. And I think Von Miller can still do that in a limited role. I think Bobby Wagner could still be a useful NFL player, but he's a far cry from what you think of when you think of Bobby Wagner at this point. And I don't know if you're getting the same amount of bang for buck. A, because he's going to play way more snaps and there's way more potential for him to be put in disadvantageous situations where I think you could probably still find a way to maximize what Von Miller has left in the tank. So if those were my choices, I would go with the edge rusher.
I was blown away to see that Von Miller still had 9 sacks last year. I was like, what? He had 9 sacks? I mean, I felt like he was kind of not discussed much.
Well, that Washington defense got beat to hell. They had several guys go down for the year, and obviously Dan Quinn took over play calling duties. I mean, they were just kind of a mess. That's not to take credit away from Von Miller, but sure. I don't think their blueprint for the season went according to the plan. And I would guess Von Miller played an even larger role than they were already expecting him to. But that's kind of my point. I mean, the Commanders were a bad team and a bad defense, but yeah. Von Miller can still give you that kind of juice where, especially on a good team where he can rotate with other qualified guys. I think Von Miller could still give you plenty in that sort of role, and you would be able to take him on and off the field situationally.
So, David, you guys kind of kick around the off seasons for every team. I asked this to the fellas yesterday. When you look at the NFC East, is this the division that maybe improved the most talent-wise among the four teams, with the Giants, what they did in the draft, also adding Isaiah Likely, the Commanders, they attack with Owe and Chase on, Chenal at linebacker, the Eagles trade for Grenard. I mean, it does seem like this division, you can maybe make the case, has improved the most in the entire league.
That's a really good question. I'd have to really go through and think about it. I mean, just sort of off the top of my head, I mean, you think about the Bengals trading for Dexter Lawrence, the Ravens added Trey Hendrickson, the Browns made 1,800 draft picks this year. The AFC North comes to my mind for sure. Probably the NFC South as well, just because I like Carolina and New Orleans in particular really kind of seem like they geared up. But I don't think you're wrong, though. Like, I think the NFC East is a really good answer. Obviously, we know what Dallas did. The Eagles are always going to be aggressive in pushing for competitiveness. And then, I mean, the Giants, just by virtue of the fact that, A, they spent a ton of money for John Harbaugh in his first year, and they wound up with two top 10 picks. Obviously, they're going to wind up adding a boatload of talent. And my gosh, yeah, I mean, I think the Commanders gave out like $175 million in guarantees this year. So, without like diving deep into it, I think that is probably the right answer.
Is Dave Hellman with you here on The Fan from The Athletic? What are we anticipating A.J. Brown for sure leaving post-June 1? And what do we make of the Eagles here? I don't know if they're going to hang on and, you know, be just as good, or if this last year was the beginning of the end.
I mean, that's such a weird situation with AJ. And we brought that up on our show too, where I was like, you know, there's nothing forcing the Eagles to do this other than just obviously the fact that they want to, and the fact that they've made all these moves to ensure themselves. It just seems to indicate that the relationship with AJ Brown is at a point where everybody thinks they're best served by moving on. I don't think you're a better team without AJ Brown on your roster. Like, I think, even if Mekhi Lemon is a really good player, and even if you get something out of Dontavian Wicks and Hollywood Brown, I'd be shocked if the Eagles are as good of a team without A.J. Brown as they were with him. That said, I still think they're a plenty good team. I think they are the most complete roster in the NFC East. Probably not the juggernaut that they have, certainly that they were in 2024, but even last year, I don't know if they're overall as deep of a roster, but the trade for Jonathan Grenard is just, I mean, that's how good teams stay good, using your comp picks to trade for a guy with 25 sacks when he's been healthy over the last couple of years. Reek Woolen was a really nice signing in free agency for them. So I still think really highly of the Eagles. I think the gap between them and the Cowboys is closer than it was, but I think the Eagles are absolutely still a team that's going to be in the mix to win the division and hopefully for them do more than they did last year.
What do you think about what Shoddy has cooking? Last week, I guess it was, or was that early this week, Steve Sarkisian says Shoddy's one of the top three coaches he talks to. Does Shoddy have something cooking here, you think?
I said this on our show, too. I say, and you guys know this as well as I do, I think when ownership is as intermingled in the day-to-day decision-making process as the Cowboys are, I don't think you're completely in charge of the culture in the building as a head coach. Like, the culture, to some degree, is always going to stem from the Jones family. But I think Shoddy is doing his damnedest to make his mark on the culture in the Cowboys building. And like, that's my own observation from the outside, but that's also what I've heard from people that I still talk to inside the building. I really, the highest praise I can give Shoddy is his hiring process has just sort of made you sit up and take notice. I mean, I love the Clayton Adams hire last year, and I love the Christian Parker hire this year. And these are not things that I think in hindsight. Like, I was, you know, my coworker was in on Christian Parker and gave me the rundown on Christian Parker and what he's about as a coach and a scheme guy well before the Cowboys were ever talking to him. And what Clayton Adams did in Arizona was on the league-wide radar well before he ever landed in Dallas. So the fact that Shoddy is able to identify and bring those sorts of guys into the building, I think is an incredibly good sign. And I think if you look around like the national landscape, you know, it was easy to think of Shoddy as a bit of a punchline, the way he got hired and his track record and his resume. But I think over the last year plus, you're starting to see people come around on what he's doing there. And I think he overall has a pretty good reputation for the, you know, considering how he got here and everything like that. I think people are taking notice of what he's doing there. And yeah, I do think he's got something cooking in Dallas. I've been pretty impressed so far.
Do you get excited about the schedule release? What do you look for when this thing drops?
I think the schedule release is the stupidest thing in the NFL. I can't believe we have to turn it into a week-long event to announce games that we already know. I mean, it's very useful for me as somebody who works in the industry. It's just, it's easier to plan your life when you know which games are when, and you're like, okay, this game is on Thursday night. That means that I might have a longer weekend and maybe I can get away and go have a little bit of a vacation and see my wife for a change, like that type of stuff. But that's not interesting to fans. I don't expect anybody to care about that. And so, no, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, the NFL is so unsatisfied by having everyone's attention 11 months out of the year that we've got to turn the schedule release into, like, if you want to do a one-day show, that's fine. But we're at the point now where we announce one game on Monday and we announce another game on Tuesday and we announce the international games on Wednesday. I think it's the stupidest thing in the world, but I am very excited to know when the games are happening. I don't get why it couldn't be an email, to be honest with you.
I'm 100% with you, but there's something in me that still appreciates the free content. You know, the NFL knows how to do it.
I mean, they are clearly skilled at it. I don't want to take that credit away from them. They are very good at turning stupid things into content. But sometimes I just want to say, like, hey, when is enough enough? Like, surely the content machine doesn't need to be fed 365 days a year. But I know the NFL would turn right back around and say, you're wrong. It does. So here we are.
Dave Hellman, The Athletic Football Show. Hell of a job as always, man. Thank you so much, and have a great week.
Anytime, y'all. Talk to you next time.
Cheers. There he goes. Dave Hellman with you here on 105 Through the Fan. If you didn't know, worked with Broadus at DallasCowboys.com for a long time, and he did a hell of a job there. It was clear he was a rising star, went to L.A., worked for Fox, became a big TV star, and now on maybe the top football podcast, what do you say, The Athletic's football show?
Yeah, I'd say it's right up there for me.
Okay, we got two down, two and a half to go. Wolchuk?
Let's do it. Let's do a football fix. We got the latest schedule rumors, 13 personnel in the affair that might have altered history. That's next.